Amen. Amen. Thank you, Karen. Appreciate that very, very much. Lord willing, we are going to finish this series of messages this morning, so hang tight. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 17. I've got some things I want to do that goes along with our theme this year, and we haven't gotten in there. I'm left over from last year's theme, that they may know, and that's part of what we've been talking about, that they may know, that we might know, that they might know. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 17, we're going to pray first, then we're going to roll into that passage here in a little bit, but that's where we're going to be picking up on the main bulk of our message here this morning. I appreciate you being patient with me on this. I think about this, and I honestly do. I think about the redundancy on some things that we do here. And the fact is, though, I don't know about you, but sometimes we hear these things, we go right on past it, we listen to another message, we go right on past it, nothing changes. Nothing changes. And the fact is, again, you've heard me say this, but talk about redundancy, huh? But you get to a point where you feel like you could preach the message, you could give the introduction to what I'm about to say. Then we could actually do what this passage says in passing it on to the next generation. And so that's part of what we're supposed to do. This is not the Sunday morning show. I know you know that, but you know, it's good to do things. I'd like to do things as best as we can. But the fact is, it's about learning the Word of God and hiding in our heart, becoming someone different than what we were born as. We were born as sinners. And God, He regenerates us, makes us a new creation in Christ. We're born of Him, and then we're supposed to grow. And that's what I want to do. So let's pray. And this morning, we're going to talk about plant some hedges at your house. Plant some hedges at your house. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your blessings. I thank you for these dear folks. Appreciate their patience with me. I appreciate Your word, though. We thank You for the life, the victory, the hope that's in Your word. And Lord, forgive us when we walk past Your word and not heed it. Lord, I pray that You'll do a work in our hearts. Lord, there's all different folks in here, all coming from different directions, going in different directions, and Lord, we need to hear your voice and hear Your word in a way here this morning that speaks to us. You know what the needs are. We ask Your Holy Spirit will move. Lord, I best I can, I yield myself to You to give just what's needed, no more, no less. But Lord, I pray that You'll speak to us. Lord, we do pray for those who've lost loved ones here recently, and thank You for the grace that You give. Thank You for testimonies of salvation in some of those, and pray that You bless there. For those who are sick and dealing with some things, Miss Joe Wolf has a friend down, Miss Markle down in the hospital, had an operation this weekend. Pray, Lord, You'll bless them and help them. And other folks who are in and out of the hospital, think about the Woolley's been fighting pneumonia and all kinds of things for weeks here now. Good to have Miss Lois Landis back. She's been out for quite a few weeks, just fighting the bronchitis and other things, pneumonia, and so Lord, good to have folks back with us, and now, Lord, I pray that You'll bless our time. Thank You for what You're going to do. We give the praise in Christ's name. Amen. My introduction is kind of our review. You could probably do this with me. Number one, adults need to have a relationship with God. We need to have that relationship with God. In Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And that these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Not just in thine head, but in thine heart. You love Him with all your soul, all your mind, your will, your emotions, all your thoughts and intellect, all your determination, all your feelings, and with all your might, with all the vehemence that you can, the vehemency that you can rake together. We should love Him. Number two, we need to be passing on this relationship to our children. Verse 7 says, teach the Word of God diligently. Teach it. Teach the law, the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, the verdicts. Point to it. Pierce it through to them. Instruct them. Indoctrinate them. It's okay to indoctrinate your children. The world's indoctrinating your children. There's all kinds of things in those video games and those cartoons and the other things that they watch. The world is indoctrinating us. We hear something long enough, we'll start believing it. But the fact is, do you believe the Word of God or not? Okay, well, if it's true, then we ought to be indoctrinating our children with the Word of God. Somebody has to do this. It's like a blank canvas. It's like a computer without the heart, without the software on it. It's all there, but we got to make sure we're downloading the right thing into that little computer. And so you say, now the world says, oh, you should let them make their own decisions. Of course the world says that. Meantime, they're indoctrinating them with their doctrine. They don't want us to confuse them with the facts. So expect that. Expect that. Talk about, he says, you're supposed to teach them. Talk about the Word of God when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking by the way, and your lie is down, the rise is up. It should be a sign upon thy hands. It's frontlets or blinders to your eyes. You ought to have the posts and the doors, the gates of your house. Notice the Word of God when you're going out, when you're coming in, whenever, all day long. Indoctrinate. So you're brainwashing them. I want them to have a clean brain. The world's brainwashing them. Don't buy that lie, them telling you that they're being neutral. They're not neutral. They're liars. I'm sorry, they're lying to us. And the fact is, we want to be nice. We're Christians. We want to get along with everybody. Do you like everybody to like you? I like everybody to like me. I don't like it when people don't like me. It bothers me. But some people out there aren't going to like what you stand for when you stand for Christ. He says, listen, I didn't come to break everything happy. And he says, I brought a sword. It's going to divide. Mother against mother-in-law, son against father, this and that. Listen, when you draw a line to Sam, what am I going to do with Jesus? I don't, on the Friday night, by the way, we had a nice group of guys there. We almost filled up the back room there at Old Country Buffet. Had a nice group of guys. And I hope you put that on your calendar for, we're not sure yet. We're working on May, June, that general area. But anyway, we had a great time. And I talked about, we need to make a decision. Make a decision. Who it is that we're going to follow? Who's going to be our master? Number three, if we expect to see the process, you see, the process is to talk about it, to teach it, to indoctrinate it, give them the Word of God, but it's first in our heart. So we get it in our heart. Meantime, we're passing it on to our kids. We're getting more in our heart. We're passing it on to the kids. We're getting more. Listen, you don't have to know it all before you start to pass it on to kids. They think you know it all when they're little. And when they get older, they think they know it all. But anyway, when they're little, they think you know it all, whether they want to do it all, what you say or not. But they think you're big, they think you're important, and they want to listen to you. And you listen, and they're listening more than you think they are. So you just keep giving it to them. You just keep giving it to them. That's the process. Now watch me. If we expect to see the process work, then we must do the process. We cannot own the promises if we do not own the process. I'm going fast here because you all been here. I'm trying to be nice about this. Now, what happens? He said here in chapter 6, verse 12, he says, then beware. He says, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He says, don't forget who saved your soul. He says, and when he says, don't forget, beware, be on guard, protect yourself, attend to, put up a hedge if you have to, really has that idea, so that you don't forget the Lord. Don't mislay the Lord. And that's where we were last week. We're mislaying the Lord. Not just Sunday, we're mislaying the Lord. We are so enamored with all the goodies, all the blessings that the blesser has given us, that we've forgotten where we laid the blesser. You see what I'm saying? God gives us all these things and all these blessings. And he said, listen, when you have all the vineyards and the houses and the lands and all these things, he said, listen, beware. You're going to be so enamored with all this stuff that you're going to forget where it came from. You're going to forget where you came from. Sometimes I think we forget. You know, one of the things that happens in churches and how they become self-righteous is the fact is they forgot that they were sinners who need to be saved by grace too. And all of a sudden, somebody gets saved, and they're upset because they haven't gotten everything worked out just like they're supposed to. They're supposed to put right there. Here's all the guidelines. You do this, you do this. You're supposed to dot all your I's, cross all your T's, and here you are, supposed to be a perfect Christian. You're saved now. Well, listen, how many babies? We got babies coming out our ears coming up this year. We've got 4, 5, 6 babies coming this year, Lord willing. Everything goes well. And listen, when that baby's born, it does not feed itself. It does a lot of other things. It doesn't do itself. Janet had a shower for one of our ladies, and a lot of times when they have a baby shower, Janet would just buy a great big box of diapers, you know. And actually, we were having a conversation with the kids. They said, "Well, how many diapers the kid? I mean, that's a big box of diapers. I mean, how many diapers that kid going to use? I mean, he's going to grow out of them before he gets them all used up. No, he's not. No, he's not. It's good. That's just the tip of the iceberg of diapers, you know. And the fact is, we don't expect them to have it all squared away. We shouldn't expect everybody else to have it all squared away when they get saved. They're babes in Christ. Give them a chance. But we shouldn't stay babes forever. We shouldn't be on the milk forever. We ought to have the meat of the Word of God. We ought to know some things. We want our kids to be able to grow up and have their own babies. We want our Christian converts, our babes in Christ, to grow up and be able to have their own babies. Listen, we want our babies to be able to grow up so they can feed other babies. Not just themselves, but everybody else. And the same thing goes with our Christian converts. Same thing goes with mom and dad. How are you going to teach your kids how to feed themselves spiritually if you don't know how to feed yourself spiritually? We need to be careful that we don't mislay. Watch. Mislaying is not that we purposely denied God or purposely threw God out of our lives. But we just got busy. We got busy with life and joy and the blessings. And we kind of laid God someplace and just kind of forgot about Him. That's all He's saying. It's not bowing our back. He's not talking about, you know, real rebellion. It's just forgot. Every once in a while, I'll be in the middle of this here, there, and I'm trying to go from one place to another place, and I'll stop down here someplace to get something to eat. I know you're going to say, it's not just once in a while you stop down and get something to eat. I understand, but I stop by someplace, I get something to eat, and I'll walk into a place, and 9 times out of 10, there's somebody in there I know. Okay, and you know, you don't want to ignore them, you know, and you're talking, you're chatting, and having, you know, and I'm glad to see them. And sometimes they're talking and chatting, sometimes sit down and they'll start to chat, and every once in a while, I forget to bow my head. And I'll take the first bite, and the Holy Spirit says, "Well, oh my soul, I need to thank God for my food," and so I do. I didn't mean to. It wasn't intentional. Just busy. And He said, "Beware. Watch out." Now, you want to be one of the worst things would happen? You say, "Well, it doesn't really matter. He knows I'm thankful." The next time, "Well, He knows I'm thankful." And after a little while, you kind of forget about that. And life has just changed. And He's been mislaid. We should watch, in fact, verse 13, we should be afraid to mislay God. He says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord, the God, and serve Him." Enslave, that's being enslaved. You're drugged to church. And he said, and it says, "And shall swear by His name." Know Him so well that you know that you can trust. You can bet on what He's going to do. "And you shall not go after gods and the gods of the people which are around about you." How's that happen? Little by little, when you forget, when you mislay God. Now, well, verse 15, though, you see, we might mislay Him, and you might not notice it for a while, but eventually you will. Verse 15, "For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, destroy thee from off the face of the earth." Verse 16, he says, now don't push your luck. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted in Massah. Don't push your luck. Don't just run on the momentum of a past walk with God that only lasts so long. When I was a kid, my neighbor and I made coaster cars. We had a hill in the backyard, and we found some wheels, some old wheelbarrow wheels, some other things, and we got some lumber out there. We could found in the over around back behind the barn, all this kind of stuff, you know. And we put together these coaster cars, and we'd go down the hill. And we had bumper, you know. We'd race and we'd bump and all this stuff, and you go down, it go pretty good, and you can see how, you know, if you get up a momentum, you can kind of go up the next hill. Little ways. But eventually you stop. And it'd be nice if you just stopped. But if you don't get out, you start going the other way. And all of a sudden, when you start going back down the hill, you can't see where you're going. There's going to be a problem. That's what happens in our Christian life. We didn't mean it. We were doing really well. Thou hast run well. Who hath hindered you? We were doing okay. But somebody convinced us that we had too many other things to be doing. We're missing out on life. We shouldn't be wasting Sunday on sitting in a pew listening to the Word of God. There's so much life out there to live. We ought to be taking time, making use of that. And we mislay God. And we're okay for a while. And the kids are okay for a while. But eventually it catches up with us. That brings us to verse 17. My point number 5 here already. Plant some hedges. Plant some hedges. Put up some guardrails. Look at verse 17. He says, ye shall diligently keep. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. Now that word, keep, doesn't mean you stick it in your pocket. Now I have not done this. In fact, people laugh at me because, okay, all right, I'm going to tell it myself. I've worn my hair back like this since I was like 16 years old. I've combed it back. It was longer than the curls. But anyway, it went back. But when it's short like this and I push it back, if I don't glue it down with hairspray, it goes straight up. And I just can't take that. But it does. It goes straight up. And so I kind of glue it down. And I need to keep it all in place. Now, when it says to diligently keep, it doesn't mean just to put something in your pocket because you'll forget where you laid it. And what I was driving at is, see, that's why I don't put my glasses up here. Some people do, but I put up there, and then it pulls it out, and now that it's glued, it's all straight, it just sticks, you know, it's just hard. My son's strolling and says, you got the hardest hair in town, Dad. And I could go out in a windstorm, and it just kind of quivers. You know, it doesn't do anything. But some people do this. You know, some people do this, and they're running around trying to find their glasses. I know they're here somewhere. I know they're, can you find my glasses for me? You know. And it's more than, when I say, thou shalt keep his commandments, it doesn't mean just to have them on your person. It doesn't mean just to have them around. He says, now watch me. He says, beware lest thou mislay them. Beware lest you forget them. Now, I don't know about you. I've got a place for certain things. I got these. People laugh. My boys have laughed. You carry these two pens. I got a pen and a pencil. Put them in this pocket. When I, my pants are about 50 pounds by all the stuff I have in my pockets. I've carried a date book in my right rear pocket since I was 14 years old. They used to laugh because it was a little black book, but there was nothing in there. Most of it looked like that, nothing in there. But I started singing. Oh, there we go. See, I told you. Look, got a place for everything. I know where everything is. It's right there. I used to, you go in my office. I found the top of my desk, by the way, and we're gonna clean that off after Christmas. But it goes right here. And if that's not right there, I'm in trouble. Because you see, that tells me what I'm going to do next week and the week after that. It has all the phone numbers of people coming in for the Bible conference and all these things. That's it. It's right there. Now, I keep it right there. I don't put it in any other pocket. That's where it goes. Every morning, I put my wallet in here. I put this here. I put my pens here. I got my keys over here. I usually keep a handkerchief in here. And I've got a place for everything, and everything is a place, because you see, I'm going to need it before the day's over. There's only certain places I put my Bible. Certain places I put my Bible, because then I know exactly where to go. If it's not this one, it's over here. I know where. I don't want to mislay it. So because I want to beware that I don't mislay it. He says I need to keep it diligently. I need to know where it is. And I need to put a guardrail around it. I had years ago, and someone gave me a hard time and said it looked like a Neo because I put a cover on my Bible. The fact is, all my notes are in my Bible, and it rains and it snows and stuff happens In fact, up until just recently, somebody gave me another one of these Rice Reference Bibles. Bless their heart. Bless their heart. I'm just tickled to death because they're out of print. You can't get them. And so I protect this thing with my life. And again, there's only certain places I put that. I'm going to keep it. In fact, he said, watch, look at this word. He says, diligently keep. Now, it's funny. The way they have that in the way it is the word's in there twice. Keep it, keep it, keep it. Diligently. It means really, really hedge it in. Put guardrails around it that force us to stay in the lines according to God's commands. Not allow ourselves to slip off track. We got to make a decision in our life. We're not going to let this stuff slip in, nor are we going to allow us to slip out. Because you see, if we mislay it, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. We're just going to forget. My dad, the way there was a certain time of the month, he checked the oil in his car. Actually, I shouldn't say it, a certain time of the week. He grew up where, you know, when the car was done, you had a little trail of oil, you know, behind him, you know. But you checked the oil. Of course, he had some antique cars where the oil just dripped on in there, and it was supposed to go on the ground. You know, it wasn't going to go anywhere; just dripped on the thing and move on. You know, just it had a little drip oil in there. But anyway, so you check the oil, because if you don't check the oil, you may be walking. You don't just think about it. You do it. You put it on the schedule. I take my stuff over to Allen's, and he takes care of our cars. That's $10, okay? He takes care of our cars, and he puts a little thing there, and says the next time it's due is at this mileage. Diligently keep it, because you see, we need to make sure that there's a regular maintenance program on our car. There needs to be a regular maintenance program on your heart. We need to diligently be seeking Him every day. We need to be constantly. Listen, this is not a suggestion. This is not something to play around with. This is not something we do if we get around to it. This is the opposite of mislaying. It is keeping a constant awareness. He says, we shall diligently keep, put a hedge around some things. Put guardrails up. What? The commandments of the Lord your God. The law, the constitution, the real law. This is it. This is law. It's the law of God. Doesn't change. Then he says the testimonies. What's that? That's the record of the proof that's in the Bible that shows what God can do and has done, shows his character. Why do we have all these stories? So you got something to tell the kids when they come to Sunday school. No, these are end samples to strike a die, to show us what God can do. These things happened. They're there for us, the testimonies. If we don't pass it on, who's going to learn them? They're not going to know them. They're not going to know who God is. They're not going to know what God can do. My God can do anything, anything, yes, anything. God can do anything but fail. Right? You ever hear that old song? Listen, I wouldn't say it quite right, but it's the right song. He can do anything. But they don't know if we don't decide we're going to keep it. The commandments, the testimonies, the statutes, the enactments, the appointments. We must keep in life. Our life in order to keep it and do so by keeping his law. It's like going to church, whether we feel like it or not. Whether we feel like it or not. Your kids don't always like to go to school. They don't ever like to go to school. No, some of them do, but they don't like to go to school all the time. So why are you so mean in forcing them to go to school? Don't you love them? You must hate your kids. You make them go to school. You know, I love them. That's why we do school, because I want them to be prepared to face the world. Oh, yeah. That's why I need to know God's word. I need to be prepared. You don't know what we're going to face we go into life today. Phone call rings, phone calls comes in, something happens. You just never know. He says, the commandments, the testimonies, the statutes, and thou shalt do that which is right, straight. That which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, it says in verse 18, that it may be well with thee. He says, listen, we're going to put some hedges up. We're going to put some guardrails up because we want to keep the commandments, the testimony, the statutes, so that we'll do what God said to do according to his definition. Now, I've kind of given this, I've given this to you before, but I want you to understand this in this context. We need to be careful that what we teach, what we're passing on, is not just the hedges, but the word of God that we're trying to hedge in. Not just the program, but the principles from the word of God. The problem is, see, a lot of times we don't do what we're supposed to do at the very beginning where it says, and the word of God is supposed to be in thine heart. And then thou shalt teach them. What's the purpose of the hedges, so that we're holding the word of God in our heart and that we're teaching it, passing it on to the next generation that's coming up. That's the purpose of the hedges. So we don't get off sidetracked. Don't mislay him. Don't forget about him, but that we're doing what he called us to do. Now here's what happens. We get lazy. And as generations go by, we cause ourselves a problem. But what happened is we mislay the word of God. We just hang on to the rules. And eventually, the kids said, well, it's just a bunch of rules. What good is that? Because they don't understand the word of God. And then they rebel against the rules because we haven't passed on the real part. Somewhere down the road, you heard me do this, someone gave us the word of God, and then they had a conviction. They saw the word of God. They saw a principle. Then they got a conviction. And so they put up some hedges. Just like the Bible says to. Just like the Bible said to. They put up some hedges and said, now family, now folks, listen. You serve whom you want, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's good. And so they pass on the principles of the word of God. They teach their children the principles. They teach the words. They teach the commandments. And by the way, they're doing it themselves as much, you know, I mean, not perfect, but the kids see that they're trying to keep the commandments. They're passing on the testimonies, the statutes, the judgments. They're passing on the word of God. And the kids are growing. We see great, great things. But we didn't teach them to teach the next generation. As long as we're doing okay, it's okay. So we had some conviction. We had some principle, have a conviction. And so we set up some standards, some hedges, so that we won't get out of line and so we can keep our convictions. But another generation comes along and they teach them the conviction. This is what we believe. What? We're Baptist. Bless God. Well, I'm glad you're Baptist, but that doesn't fix anything. That doesn't solve the problem. We don't do what we do because we're Baptist. We do it because it's biblical. I'm all for being a Baptist, but the fact is I'm biblical, and if all the Baptists go haywire, I'm staying biblical. None of this politics stuff. I'm with him, the king. And so we start teaching convictions, and all of a sudden all they see is rules. But I said, well, they seem to be doing all right, so I guess I'll live by their convictions. Not their convictions, but they'll live by mom and dad's convictions or grandma's conviction. Another generation shows up, and they were living by their convictions and says, well, this is what we do. And so what they do is they teach the hedges. They teach the rules. We don't do this. We do do this. Here's how we do it. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And everything will be just fine if you do that. Well, it may keep you out of some trouble, but the problem is it hasn't solved the problem that's in our heart. Because you see, the first thing was, it shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them. Talk of them when you walk away, walking your way, and you're sitting around the house, and when you're going in and out, when you get up in the morning, when you lay down, they're not passing on the principles, the biblical truths, so that they create their own convictions, and then they're going to say, wow, I understand why we have these hedges, because I don't want to fall off into this mess, into this ravine of sin, if you will, this ravine of destruction, because I need... Now listen, the kids don't see that at first. Do you ever see a bunch of little kids in a crowd and they're trying to see, you know, around everybody else? They can't see. You know what we're supposed to do? I'll tell you what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be like Pastor Dallas and little Lance, supposed to put him on his shoulders and everybody can see just what everybody else can see. And the fact is, we ought to get to the point where our kids are growing off of our shoulders. They shouldn't have to stop at the start at the bottom like we did. They ought to be able to start from our shoulders and move up from there. Our kids ought to be able to live above what we've lived. Not just in their physical well-being and in their money, financial well-being, but they ought to be able to live above us spiritually. Because they should be able to start on our shoulders. They shouldn't have to live down in the muck and the mire. They ought to be able to go from us and go further. So we need to put up some hedges. But the fact is, it's not the hedges we're trying to pass on. We need different kind of hedges because we get different kinds of enemies as society changes. There's new hedges all the time. I mean, there was one time when you didn't have to tell the kids to watch, be careful what you're watching TV. There was no TV. There used to be a time when you didn't have to tell the kids, don't you get on that app on your phone. Because they didn't have a phone. You had one that said, Sarah, this is Barn. Can you get me Andy? I mean, it used to be, you know what I mean? Things have changed. But the principle, the hedges, so that the Word of God stays in my heart and not the mess of the world, that principle doesn't change. The hedges change. Listen, I went to a college where I had my hair cut ready to go, and because I have a hair code, and I went down and I said, tell me where they get their hairs, all the staff people at the college gets their hair done. I'm a freshman here, and I know I want to pass hair code. I know they're going to be tough on me. Just make sure I pass hair code. So tell me where all the staff goes to get their hair cut, and that's where I'm going to go. So I went down there, and I told him, I said, listen, I'm a freshman at so-and-so college, and I know it's going to be rough. Make sure my hair's sure enough that I'm going to be able to pass hair code. Oh, well, okay, here we go. So they, snip, 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 hair is flying everywhere. And I went home, my wife said, man, what did they do to you? You know? And I got in line, I thought, this is going to be okay. I got in line and came by and checked my hair because you had to check it before you go through registration. It didn't pass. I said, I don't understand. He said, well, it's not tapered enough back here. Well, it doesn't look like a girl. I mean, you've blocked. It's not tapered. It's got to be tapered. Now, the fact is, Jesus didn't have a tapered haircut. I'm pretty sure he didn't. But there were certain things they were hedging against at that time. And as culture had changed, what they were really hedging part about really was no longer an issue, but it was part of the rules, and they didn't want to go back and change because then they felt like they were backing up on their... But the fact is, listen, the hedges may change. You may get, listen, a dog may move in on the other side of your house that wasn't there before. You need a hedge over there now because he's going to come and get you. There wasn't a hedge there before, but now we need one. You understand? But it's not the hedges that makes us Christian. It's not the hedges that makes us righteous. It's the Word of God working in the hearts of man, changing us, moving us, renewing in the mind. It changes from the inside out. And he says, listen, why do we do this? Verse 18. Do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee. So we need to teach the principles, not just the convictions, not just the standards, but the convictions, the principles, the word of the God, the word of God. Why do we do what we do? You know what? That takes time. You know, sometimes, let's just abide by the rules. We don't have to think about it. The rules is not what he's looking for. He says, it shall be in thine heart. Now, wait a minute. Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. It says, in fact, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, all thy strength. That sounds familiar. And thy neighbor as thyself. What's he saying? You get Christ and the Word of God in your heart to become part of who you are. You don't have to worry about all the rules because you'll be doing it automatically. It'll be part of who you are. Why do we have to have the rules? Because it's not in their heart yet. The goal is not to help them keep the rules, except to keep them out of trouble. The goal is to get it in their heart. The rules take care of themselves. You understand what I'm saying here? We're doing this the wrong way. And we wonder why we lose the generation. Because they said, well, they all said we got to have our hair cut just like this and this. And they got to have white walls around the sides. We got to have this, got to do this. That's not here. But I will tell you this. I don't want to look like the world. I suppose the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Well, what's that mean? It's a shame for a man to have long hair. What's long hair? Well, it's not short. You ought to be a man. That's what he says. Well, he didn't have it exactly this. No, that's not what it says. We need to put up some hedges. We started this series. You don't need to turn to it. You'll remember, I think. 1 Samuel 3:11 says this. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. And in that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. Eli was the priest of Shiloh, but he had some boys that were a mess. He says, in that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, when it starts, I will also make an end of it. I'm going to finish the job. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. He knew what was going on. Because his sons made themselves vile. His sons made themselves vile. Now listen to me. His sons made themselves vile. And he restrained them not. He didn't put any hedges up. Well, they fight the hedges. Duh. I mean, really? Who wants hedges? Who wants restrictions? We don't want restrictions. He restrained them not. Because he did not restrain them, they lived a life of sin. And sin brings forth death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wage of sin is death. Eli's sons died, and they died early, if you go back and read it. He died because of their sin. Eli restrained them not so that he would not lose them. And he ended up losing them. It's time to truly love our children. 2 Timothy 3 says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. From a child. Well, Timothy was something special. From a child, he knew the Holy Scriptures. That might have had something to do with it. As a child has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. What's that mean? He realized he was a sinner and realized he needed a Savior, and Jesus was it. Through faith, which wise unto salvation, which is through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Watch this. That's not all. Verse 16 says, and all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine. That's what's right. For reproof. That's what's not right. For correction. That's how to get right. And for instruction in righteousness is how to stay right. That a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. What's he saying? Put some hedges up. Not for the sake of hedges. Not for the sake of saying, our kids are better than your kids. That's not it. What it is, it's about saying, it makes them wise unto salvation. It says it's wise unto having a life for Christ. It's saying, I'm going to put some hedges up so that we learn to do the Word of God. We need to love our God, our children. We need to truly love them. Use the Word of God. We need to correct them, restrain them, hedge them in. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Means at the right time. Now that doesn't mean beat him black and blue. You've heard me say it. The shepherd's rod is not about beating the sheep to death. It's about prodding him and limiting his options. We don't do that. Why? Because the Word of God says so and so and so and so. There's part of our problem. We don't know why we do. We're passing on rules. We're passing on Baptist traditions. We're passing on what grandma said. Don't pass on that. Pass on what God said. Let it do the difference. Let it work. This word is stronger, and it goes down deep into the heart, the very bone and marrow. It knows the tendencies. It knows what's in the heart. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Put up some hedges. We don't go there. We don't go here. We do this. Brother Dallas read this a little earlier. Hebrews 12:5 says, and have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, where are all partakers, all everybody who's a son, then are ye bastards and not sons. Illegitimate. You think you're God's son. Listen, if you haven't had enough of the Word of God, you may not even be wise unto salvation yet. You're just keeping the rules. Are you just been keeping the rules? Or you're really wise unto salvation? Families, listen, don't just get them to keep the rules. Make them wise unto salvation with the Word of God. He says, but if ye be without chastisement, where all are partakers, then are ye bastards, not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening of the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Watch. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Are you ready for the process? Verse 20. I'm almost done here. Verse 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, well, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders and great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, the fear of the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it should be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. It shall be our righteousness. You know what? There's people who say, well, I live by the Ten Commandments, and they wouldn't be able to name them. Parents said, well, we live by the Bible around here. But they would have a hard time quoting more than John 3:16 and Jesus wept. I'm just being tough here. I know it's being tough. We can do this. If we want to see a different process, we need to change what it is that we're doing. If you can't explain the Bible, well, how can you pass it on? Your kids have a right to ask you what all this believing in God and Jesus stuff is all about. Your grandkids have a right to ask you, why do we do this, Dad? Granddad? Why don't we do this, Granddad? Why don't we do this, Dad? 1 Peter 3:15, Lord God, he says, but sanctify, set aside, make holy the Lord your God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's within you. When he says man, he's not talking about has to be full grown. I mean, somebody who's alive and breathing, a human being, might include your kids. And we need to do so in humility. Galatians 6 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's look at it this way. Brethren, if a child be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest thou also be tempted. We need to realize where we came from. He says, then thou shalt say to thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt. We were headed to hell. He died and paid for our sins. And he died and paid for your sins too. And do we realize the power and the authority that God has and what he can do in our life? And it said, verse 22, Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, upon all his household, before our eyes. Can you say that God has done something great in your life? Why not? If the answer is no, why not? Not because of God's inability. With God, all things are possible. I'll tell you what, because we haven't followed the guidelines that he has given us that we've talked about. Do you realize that God has a great plan for you and for your children and for your children's children? He says that I brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which we swear unto our fathers. I got something big for your life. You'll be able to tell your kids, God's got something big for you, son. I don't have any idea what it is, but it's big. It's good. It's great. And do you realize that what God does and what God asks of us is for our own good? Do your children believe that? Do you believe that? The Lord commanded us, verse 24, to do all the statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. This is our righteousness. It's not what we determine, it's what he has determined. So we need to go back and remember from whence we've come. Humble ourselves and remember that we are just sinners who have been saved and seen as righteous before because of the grace of God. We need to go back and love the Lord our God, our own selves, with all our might, all our soul. We need to go back and learn the Word of God and hide it in our hearts. We cannot pass on that which we don't possess ourselves. And we need to go back and put some hedges in our lives, some restrictions in our lives that will force us to do right according to God so we do not mislay the Lord. We need to go back and put up some hedges. We're not righteous because we have restrictions. But the restrictions are to lead us into righteousness. Now I'm not here to throw out the concept of rules. The fact is, it's not just the rules that brings righteousness. We need a relationship with him. and lead them to have a relationship with Him. That's our job if you want to enjoy the land that God has given us. Father, we thank You for Your word. Speak to our hearts here this moment. Your Holy Spirit moving, we ask in Christ's name. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet.